Welcome to World Ocean Radio. I'm Peter Neal, director of the World Ocean Observatory. Oftentimes in discussion of ocean transportation, you will hear mentioned the significance of straits, those narrow openings between landmasses through which essential shipping must pass, the Straits of Malacca, the Straits of Gibraltar, the Straits of Hormuz. The justification for this strategic importance is not just the vulnerability of such places to successful navigation, but also as the shortest distance between trading partners, shortcuts measured in time, thus money. Canals can be viewed as artificial or man-made straits, the Suez and Panama canals as best-known examples, being an engineered linkage through existing waterways, lakes, and swamps that does not naturally exist beyond the vision of a nation or a corporation seeing the creation of a new passage, timely and cheap, once the financial and human capital has been invested, for connecting markets, manufacturers to consumers in heretofore difficultly accessed places. The Erie Canal in the United States was the essential 19th century link between the Great Lakes and American heartland for the export of natural resources and agricultural products to the Port of New York for transshipment to Europe and beyond. The canals of Wales and northern England served similar purpose to supply and distribute the sudden market expansion of the Industrial Revolution. The canals of Germany and France provided simple and safe transport of sand, gravel, stone, and coal for farm production, grains, beets, milk, wine, and other agricultural products from country to city, from the center to the edge. I love canals. I love them for their unexpectedness in a world where transportation systems have changed to train and truck and container, to rail and road and pipeline. When you come across them, typically in still rural places, they seem to be a lost system of circulation, bucolic in their abandonment, left to small recreational boats, towpaths, cyclers, and families and lovers enjoying outings in natural, less frenetic places. The English canals now serve recreational purposes mainly, narrow wooden canal boats lovingly restored by private owners, wending their way on simple, introverted vacation voyages. In France, the canal boats are frequently charters, families lingering in regional backwaters, or tourists playing at being French, with the galleys of their ships filled mostly with wine and cheese and other local foods. Canals are part of the slow life movement. I've had a wonderful experience on and among them. One of my most favorite maritime preservation stories involves the curator of the Canal Museum in Wales explaining how to conserve certain vessels in the collection by sinking them in the muddy side canals to preserve them for future restoration. The Göta Canal between Gothenburg and Stockholm is one of the best passages of my life, across central Sweden through lakes and lochs at midsummer when the sun never sets and the banks are a constant parade of celebration, girls in white dresses, aquavit and salmon, music and singing. That trip was made on the motor vessel Juno, built in 1886, a marvelous old wooden excursion boat that traverses the 66 locks one by one, lifting us up some 300 feet from sea level to the lakes of central Sweden and down again. The canals of Russia link the White Sea to the Baltic, linking Lake Vyazero to Lake Onega to Lake Ladoga, the Svir and the Neva rivers. There are canals to be explored in China, the Zhongguo system for water conservation and irrigation, first built in the Han Dynasty, 246 BC, and still extant and operating. And of course, the Grand Canal, over 1,400 miles connecting Beijing to the north to Hangzhou in the south, dating from the 5th century, restored in the 15th century, and in continuous use for over 2,000 years. Tourists can visit restored canals and villages near Hangzhou and Suzhou for a glimpse of a China remembered, now mostly in film. Much of the Grand Canal infrastructure has deteriorated or silted in, but modern China recognizes the canal for its practical contribution to the supply of construction materials to the new urban centers building in the central delta provinces, as well as an alternative for the movement of goods from the port of Shanghai to northern destinations by train or truck transportation. There are canals everywhere. Exclusive residential canals in Miami, canals supporting floating markets in Bangkok, canals in Alleppey and Kerala, southern India, in Kurashiki in Osaka, Japan, and Hoi An in Vietnam. Finally, there are Amsterdam and Venice, cities of canals in and by the sea, defined by water, supplied by waterborne transport, connected by water buses, water taxis, and water deliveries, a city where canals have been and remain the lifeblood of their being for all time, as an historic economic power, a contemporary tourist center, and as a focus for understanding and appreciation of history, architecture, art, literature, food, craft, and Western civilization. What links all these canals? They are functions of the relationship between people and water as a means to flourish on every level. They are human constructs that bring people together through work, exchange, and community. They are places we go to and live by, even if we don't know why. We will discuss these issues and more in future editions of World Ocean Radio.
World Ocean Radio is a project of the World Ocean Observatory. Visit us online at worldoceanobservatory.org. World Ocean Radio is produced in association with WERU Community Radio, Blue Hill, Maine.